The first reading comes from the book of Revelations, chapter 21, verse 10 and 21:22 through 22:5. This reading describes John's vision of the New Jerusalem. It is a stunning portrait of the characteristics of the city of God. And in the Spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The next lesson comes from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. The Holy Spirit led Paul and his companions to the Macedonia area, stopping in several cities and ending up in Philippi, a Roman colony. There they met Lydia, whose conversion is documented here. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia, pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson comes from John chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. This is Jesus in the upper room with his disciples the night before he would be crucified. And he's giving final words of encouragement and instructions to his disciples. And it reads like this. Then Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it's from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I, and now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." This is the word of the Lord. We are approaching Pentecost, the birthday of the church. It'll be in two Sundays from now. And we just read a passage of Jesus talking about sending the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to the followers of Jesus that will be with us and help us in speaking and spreading the message of Jesus, and also to bring peace to our lives. Today I want to concentrate more on the Acts passage than either of the other two Gospels. And I want to talk about the vision that Paul had. Paul had his strategic plan all in place. He had cities that he was going to go visit where he was going to be starting churches. But we didn't read this part, but up above this it kept saying Jesus kept preventing them from going there. And then Paul has this vision of this man pleading with him to come to Macedonia, which is Greece. And so Paul and his companions, they left and went toward Macedonia and arrived in Philippi. Now, Paul had his usual strategy that he would do when he arrived at a city. He would start in the synagogue, teaching and preaching to the Jews. And then he would be moving out, often kicked out of the synagogue, and he would start sharing the message with the non-Jews. Well, when he gets to Philippi, he learns that there is no synagogue in Philippi. There are not enough Jewish men. I think it takes like 10 Jewish men to be able to have a synagogue, and they don't have it. So he hears of a prayer meeting going on by the riverbank. And so he goes there, and he discovers these women that are praying. And in particular, he discovers Lydia. Lydia is a very successful businesswoman who deals with purple linen, which was a very expensive linen. And she listens to the message, and she responds and becomes a believer and insists that Paul and his companions stay at her home. And so they do, and thus is the beginning of the Philippian church. I can't help but wonder if Paul would have gone to Macedonia if the vision had been a woman pleading to come. He might not have. But it is interesting that this man pleads, and the first one that believes is a woman. Now, this past 2.5 days I have spent with Brian Bakke and a friend of his, Art Brown, in Philadelphia. And those of you that many of you will remember that Brian was here a couple of months ago, and he shared stories. He doesn't preach. He shares stories. And I spent this 2.5 days with Brian listening to his stories. And I want to share his stories today, particularly ones that deal with having this vision of seeing God lead you someplace. And before I tell the first story, let me just tell you of a poll poll that was done by George Gallup Sr. He polled a bunch of Presbyterians back in the 1990s and asked if they had ever had a vision of Jesus. And surprisingly, over half of the Presbyterians, I can't emphasize that enough, Presbyterians said that they had. And an even greater percentage of clergy. And I'm like, huh? I never heard of this. We don't talk about it. We have these visions of Jesus and we don't talk about them. I think rather we stick with what we see as our strategic plan and what we've been doing and what we believe we have to continue doing, and we miss out on the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I want to tell these stories from Brian. The first one involves Brian himself. He was fairly fresh out of college. He'd moved back to Chicago, and he was involved in a church there. And the pastor said, we got men starting to come to our church. We need to start a men's Bible study. And he asked for Mark and Brian to put this Bible study together. But he didn't give them any timetable. He wanted them to have some time to get to know each other and to bond with each other and be able to work out so they work as a team together. And so they did that, and they became best friends. And then Mark said to Brian, I believe God is telling you to lead the Bible study. And Brian said, well, he hasn't told me, and I'm not going to do it until he does. And he's going to tell me verbally. So they waited, and they waited. And finally, Mark said, all right, on this particular Sunday, and he's announcing this to the whole church, this particular Sunday, we're going to start a men's Bible study. And Brian is livid. God hasn't spoken to me, and you've already set up a time to do it. And he was just mad. And the day came, and Brian's walking to the church, and he's five blocks away. He's praying, God, you haven't spoken to me yet. And we're five blocks away, and you're going to look bad. And you're going to make me look bad. And then it was four blocks, and he hadn't heard anything, and he still prayed, God, you're going to look bad. You're going to make me look bad. We're going to be embarrassed. Three blocks away, he's still doing it. And when he gets three blocks away, all of a sudden he sees and hears this man across the street, a one-armed man pushing a shopping cart full of all his possessions, obviously a homeless man who was obviously drunk or high. And this man's yelling and cussing at Brian, and he crosses the street, upsetting traffic as he crosses. And he says, are you going to church? Are you going to church? Brian says, yes, I'm going to church. And he starts saying, do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? And Brian's trying to get around him. And he's saying, I got to get to church. I got an appointment. I don't have time to talk. And the guy's like right up here, in front of Brian. And he said, have you got a Bible? Open your Bible. Open your Bible. Open it to James chapter 1, verse 22. Open it and read it to me. And I don't have it exactly memorized, but it said something to the effect of, do not just listen to the word, otherwise you will be deceived. But be doers of the word. And the man said, you teach that. You go there and you teach that. And then he started walking back across the street, yelling and cussing and all of that. Brian gets to the church. And Mark says, have you heard from God? And Brian says, well, yes. God is a one-armed, homeless drunk. They started the Bible study. Had like 12 people the first time. It grew to be over 50 people, and lives were dramatically changed through this Bible study. And in a follow-up to it, Brian got to know the man that had told him this over the years. And one time he asked him, do you remember that time you asked me if I was going to church, asked me if I had my Bible, told me to open it up and read this, I had no clue. A vision from God. I told Brian we were looking to do live streaming at our church, of our worship services. And he told me this story. It's Mr. X. And he got the name X when he tried to immigrated to Canada, and he had the same first name and last name. And they said at immigration, you can't have that. And so they gave him the name X as the last name. But that's getting ahead of the story. Mr. X was from Afghanistan, fought against the Russians, was a devout Muslim. In fact, he was studying or maybe had even become an imam, pastor. And he had a dream. And Jesus came to him in that dream. And he became a Christian. And when he started telling people that he'd become a Christian, his family disowned him and threatened to kill him. The people from his mosque threatened to kill him. Other imams threatened to kill him. And the threats became so real that he had to flee the country and went to India. And in India, he started a church for Afghans. And at some point, the death threat started coming again. And so he went to Toronto, Canada, where he got the name Mr. X. And he lived amongst Pakistani Muslims. And they could care less about Afghans. And so he was safe there. But he started to live stream his worship services. And people all over the world were watching. And he would get all kinds of comments. Many of them, about half of them would be, oh, we love you, thank you for this. We really enjoy worshiping with you. And the other half were all, where are you? We're going to come and we're going to kill you. And he would respond to all of them. And he would tell those that are threatening to kill him where he was. Not sure the smartest thing to do, but he's still doing this. He is the Christian man among the Afghanistans. Wherever they are in the world, they're tuning in to him. And there are thousands of them who have come to Christ because of that live streaming. I have two more stories to tell. They both deal with artwork. Brian's an artist. And while we were in Philadelphia, we were traveling around visiting the murals in Philadelphia. And there are thousands of them. And Brian had done some in Chicago, so he was interested. And he told me the story of how they got started in Philly. A woman by the name of Jane Golden, went to court. And she's a Christian, and she asked the judge, what do you do with those people that are arrested for doing graffiti? And the judge said, well, I usually sentence them to community service. And she said, well, can you sentence them to do art classes with me? And the judge started doing that. And she began, they were pretty talented artists with the graffiti, and she started to teach them more about art. And then it became this opportunity. There was a side of a building that somebody wanted to have a mural painted on. And she had the artist, so they designed it and they did it. And now they're starting to get grants from foundations and businesses and banks and religious organizations to do these murals all over the city. And they almost all tell a story. And I took pictures of a couple of them. Linda, if you put the first one up. This one is in West Philadelphia, and it's dealing with the Tuskegee Airmen during World War II. You really can't tell, but it's got just incredible detail and stories throughout the whole the whole image, the whole picture. And just fascinating to watch. And then the second one, go ahead and show the second one. This is the one that was Brian's favorite. And dealing with the journey of African Americans in our country, starting with in slavery, and then in certain parts of it, they're just dealing with the civil rights movement, and it's just got lots of detail. It has brotherhood written down at the bottom of it, and words throughout the picture. And, just incredible story, and it all started because this woman wanted to have a ministry with these graffiti artists that had been arrested. And like I said, her organization alone has done 4,000 murals in Philadelphia. And we visited maybe a couple of dozen of them in our 2.5 days. And just incredible. And these things are changing the neighborhoods where they are. They bring pride and a sense of accomplishment and dignity to these neighborhoods. And like I say, they tell stories. Some of them are sports-oriented. Some are religious-oriented. Some are famous people. We saw ones with famous musicians out of Philly and such. Just incredible artwork. We actually saw one that was in progress, the process of being finished. And Brian got to talk with them, and he learned some things that he wants to do. He's got a wall at his house that he wants to do at some point. He was all excited. So that's the one story. The last story is I see as a story. I'm telling that story right now. Don't get ahead of me. She heard the story, so she had lunch with us yesterday. On our way back from Philadelphia. This story, I think, also serves as a warning. We hear what great things are being accomplished through the story, but it's also a warning to the church. And this one is Lisa Hampton. She was a professional photographer, used to work for National Geographic. And She, with the church, she's a Christian, with the church, put in a grant request with Mustard Seed Foundation, the foundation that Brian works for. And they wanted to start working with kids in schools in the area of photography. And so it started. They gave them the grant, and they started, and it started small. But they're sending these kids and youth throughout the city taking photographs. And it began to grow. And now it's throughout all of New York City. And they're winning awards for their photography. They are getting scholarships and going off to college. And many of them that graduate from college enter into the profession of photography profession. And it's just incredible. She matches students with mentors. And they're taught the photography and all the nuances of it and all of this. And the photographs are just incredible. And the warning to the church, Brian asked, well, what are the church's involvement in this ministry that you've started? And she said, there are no churches that support me anymore. And the reason they don't support me is because the kids are not Christians. And the folks, the mentors, are not necessarily Christian. And we don't want to work with them if it's not Christian. So short-sighted of, here's this wonderful thing that's making a powerful impact in people's lives. And a Christian element could be added to it, not to beat people into becoming Christians, but just working with them, showing them the love of Christ, showing them the peace that they have in Christ, like we read about in the gospel lesson. Sharing these things, but the churches won't do it because they don't have the vision for it. And I kind of liken it to the story we read of Paul, where the man is pleading, come to Macedonia, come to Macedonia. And Paul said, no, I got my own agenda. I got my own strategic plan. I got to go with this. And he would have missed out on all the blessings and all the great things that God would have done if he'd gone to Macedonia. Footnote on this story. Elisa's hooked up with a man in Philadelphia. He's made like the alphabet blocks, you know, you had as a kid, you know, they're about this big with all letters on all the sides. He's made these, and they're about this big. And he's going walking through Philadelphia, laying out messages of hope and encouragement and love. And she's going along with him, taking pictures of them. And so they're walking through all throughout Philadelphia doing this. And Brian gave me a picture of this. You can put it on the screen, Linda. But this is the picture. Brian gave me one. And they're all, some of them just say hope. Some of them may just say faith. But faith, hope, and love is what's on here. And the communities of Philadelphia need to hear that message. But the truth of the matter is the neighborhoods of Easton and Talbot County and the Eastern Shore need to hear that message too. And are we open to the leading of the Spirit? I don't have to show you the backside. Are we open to the leading of the Spirit to offer faith, hope, and love? Amen.